Well, good morning and welcome. There's a sense of anticipation this morning. Is something happening? It's really good to see you all here. Visitors, guests amongst us, you're very welcome. And today is a very special day. Special day for David, 50th anniversary of ministry here. It's a unique day. It's a unique day for all of us, really, as a church. It's a day to praise God for his faithfulness as well over those years. And so we're going to begin by singing a hymn, hymn 200, Great is Thy Faithfulness. So we focus on the Lord and what the Lord has done through David amongst us over these 50 years. Hymn 200. Well, it's good to say thank you, isn't it? It's good to say thank you any time for anything, but particularly in when someone has ministered in such a way to us for such a long time. I want to read a few scriptures that back up the biblical basis for what we're doing this morning, just in case you were worried in any way. Jeremiah chapter 3 says, I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will lead you with knowledge and understanding. Ephesians 4. So Christ himself gave the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. The Apostle Paul exhorts the church to remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this, that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit for you. And it goes on to say in 1 Timothy 5, the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honour, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. So 1 Thessalonians 5, and I conclude with this verse. Acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard, in love, because of their work. So I think on those, but the basis of those scriptures, what we do this morning in honouring David for his 50 years of service amongst us is very fitting, very right, and very biblical. I mean, 50 years doing anything is incredible, but 50 years to be pastor of a church in one place is, well, is beyond incredible. It is a remarkable feat, and I hope you'll all appreciate that to some amount. Perhaps as the associate minister, I can identify perhaps even a little more with that. Let me lead you in prayer. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your great faithfulness to your people here for the last 50 years. Thank you for calling David to yourself and then to the ministry. And thank you for helping him shepherd your people here. Thank you for showing him your truth and giving him the skills to convey that to others. Thank you for his hard work and dedication among us and the example and inspiration that has been. Bless our gathering today, Lord, as we honour your servant. We give you praise because of your grace and faithfulness to us all. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, David is back with us, but you may have noticed he's a little broken physically. So he might need a little bit of help, because we've got a few treats on this special day for you, David. And you should all have a sheet with some Welsh written on it. We're going to listen in a moment to the Treorchy Male Voice Choir. You say that much better than I would say it. So yes, we're singing that. Invitation, brackets. And we've got the literal English. We're going to hear it in Welsh. That will warm David's heart, I'm sure. But if you don't know Welsh, as I say, follow the words. A literal translation in the English is alongside it. So over to John on the technology up there. We'll remain seated and just listen and let this minister to our hearts and to our minds.
Come on.
It's what it's all about. Church, we are here because of what Jesus did at Calvary. Yeah. David ministers in Jesus' name because of what Jesus did at Calvary. It's all because of what we've just heard and read in those words. Well, we have a present, David, and a card. Happy anniversary, Reverend David Saunders, on the 1st of the 3rd, 20. 50 years, that's 600 months, 2,608 weeks, 18,264 days, 438,336 hours, and 26,360 minutes. I reckon he's worked them all.
November the 1st will be 60 years in ministry, and 50 of them have been with you. And I was being groomed for, better come over here. The folk wanted me to go back from North Wales. I was in a large church, 400 members, and Elbert Lewis and W. Emrys James, the Welsh Bards, had all been there. And the idea was that I would go back to Llanelli, and from Llanelli become the moderator of Wales. But God had another idea. We had the problem with Mark. And so we came here in order to have Great Ormond Street. And we never went there, because Lieberschutz was in Southend. And so we were here. And you know, one of the fascinating things was, in the first quarterly meeting, they had quarterly meetings then. In the first quarterly meeting, Colin Garwood got up and said, "I see that Rochford have called another man. It's their last chance before they get closed." He was at Clifftown. Clifftown got closed. And where are we? We're still here. God's been good to us. Lots of things have taken place. I'll share a few things later. But I'm so grateful to you. I was doing a favor for someone and I fell over. Isn't it amazing, eh? But I'm here. I'm here. And I'm grateful for everything. And I'll share with you what it means to be part of a great church a little bit later in the service. And I'm grateful for you coming. I just want to be with the people who are with me week in and week out, who spent their time with me, because you are the folk who are my reward. And so I'm grateful for this, but I'm most grateful for you. So bless you in Jesus' name. My thanks.
Thank you, David. Thank you.
Tributes, different things being said about David. All good, I hope. But also, just to mention, we've had so many emails from around the world. It's been unbelievable. And so we're going to read those greetings out after lunch. All right? So if you can't stay for lunch, I'm sure David will show you at some other time what was sent. But most of the greetings will come after our lunch through in the hall at the back. But we are going to have some brave people coming up to share a little bit of what David's ministry has meant and does mean to them now. Intersperse that with a few little choruses along the way as well. On the other side from the Welsh singing hymn, you've got a few choruses. And the first one is "Every Promise in the Book is Mine." And one of the things about our pastor is, as we know, he preaches the word, loves the word, and underlines his promises. And so this seemed an appropriate one to sing. We're going to sing it twice through, after which the children will go out and we will have our notices. We'll remain seated to sing twice through. "Every promise in the book is mine, every chapter, every verse, every line."
Every promise in
jokes about how the pastor should have a coffee brought to them in the service. So this is yours, with love from us all. It's impossible to keep much from David, but we were trying, you know what I mean? But I hope it's warm enough for you. It's got one sugar in. Is that okay? I thought you might need it as well, because I've invited a few people just to come up and say a few things now. So there we go. We've had a few treats, now a few words. And the ladies are going to start first. Ladies first. Always that way. And Valerie. Valerie's going to come and say a few words. And she's got a song as well.
And I walked in here, and David was preaching. When I walked out, I said, I would like to join your church, please. And will you, Chris? I'd no doubt that this was the place where I had to be, and my family had to be. And still here 48 years later, I think speaks for itself. I really give thanks to God for bringing me here. On my account, not my family, but from Aberdeen via Newcastle to Rochford. David probably thought about that as well. Rochford, where's Rochford, you know? I hadn't even heard of it, you know. And I thought I was a Christian when I came. But under the inspired preaching and teaching of Pastor David Saunders, I soon discovered that there was more to be done. And I gave my heart to Jesus 3 years later when Mission for Christ was here. I've learned so much under David's ministry, but not just from the preaching and teaching, but from the lives lived by David and Joyce. Seeing them stand firm, as the hymn says, through many dangers, toils and snares that have beset them has been a true inspiration, as much as anything else. And volumes could be written. I thank David too for encouraging me to sing for the Lord. And there was one song he was always asking me to sing. And in those days, I remember thinking, can't sing that again, you know. But in revisiting it to sing it for you today, I understand. And it's the loveliness of Christ. Yes. Brightness of the stars and moonlight, and the mantle white which mountain peaks enshroud. Then if we could catch the glitter of each jewel gathered from the earth or from the briny sea, blend them all together in one mighty prism, still the loveliness of Christ is more to me. He is altogether lovely, he's the fairest of the fair, and on him alone through life I can depend. Language fails completely when I try to tell the world of the loveliness of Christ, my Lord and friend. Did you ever see a baby smile on waking, or behold the mother light in eyes of love? Something which no artist ever yet was able to portray unless inspired from above. Yet my soul has seen a vision called
grander, holier, and lasting. 'Tis the loveliness of Jesus Christ to me. He is altogether lovely, he's the fairest of the fair, and on him alone through life I can depend. All language fails completely when I try to tell the world of the loveliness of Christ, my Lord and friend. I have reveled in the glory of the sunset and the blending of God's colors at the dawn. I have marveled at the plumage of the flowers, and I've thrilled while listening to the nightbird's song. I have passed through lanes with orange perfume laden, till enraptured in its magic power I'd be. Could some way be found to gather them and blend them? Still the loveliness of Christ is more to me. He is altogether lovely, he's the fairest of the fair, and on him alone through life I can depend. All language fails completely when I try to tell the world of the loveliness of Christ, my Lord and friend.
Mac is going to come up next and say a few words.
I'm sharing today on behalf of myself and Mark Dabbs, who is not able to be here today, and on behalf of our children and their families too. We started coming here to Rochford Congregational Church 43 years ago. Two young mums with all the fears, worries and pressures that that can bring. And it was here, with God's perfect timing and a move of the Holy Spirit, that we both came to faith in Jesus Christ as our living Lord and Saviour. We give thanks to God for the ministry we sat under here through David, God's faithful servant, how the word of God was opened up to us both as we started out on our walk of faith, with a desire to know more and deepen our relationship with the Lord. Our walk was richly blessed by David's ministry abroad, as we were able to sit under the word of God from those around the world, especially the Living Faith Bible student teams who came alongside our young children. We thank you, David, on their behalf for the seeds of God's word sown in their lives, leading them on in their own journeys of faith in the Lord. But we want to thank David and Joyce for their care, support, encouragement, friendship and love over the years through many of life circumstances, plus baptisms, dedications, weddings and too many more situations to mention individually, loving us through all as God first loved them. So, David, on behalf of Marg and Pete, myself and Titch, Peter, Maria, Daniel, Anna, Nicola, Dean, Faye, and all their families, we say thank you. giving God all the glory for every blessing. And just repeating the scripture that Andrew brought all earlier in Hebrews 13. Remember your leaders who serve you, who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. And it went on to say, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he never leaves us nor forsakes us. Thank you, David, for sharing your love for the Lord with us over the years. And Mark sends her love to all of you.
On your chorus sheet, we have a little chorus. We're just going to sing it once through. God is still on the throne, and he will remember his own. Through those difficult times, trials, burdens, he never will leave us alone. Wonderful promise. So we just sing it once through. Remain seated. Thank you, Ruth.
God is still on the throne, and he will remember his own. Though trials depress us and burdens distress us, he never will leave us alone. God is still on the throne, he never forsaketh his own. His promise is true.
Well, thank you, ladies. Wonderful words, and yeah, heartily agree with all that. Now it's the men's turn, and Les is going to say just a brief words now, Les, I'm afraid. The ladies have taken some of the time.
Well, I've got enough here to last half an hour, but we better not go into that, had we? But we've been saying how long we've been coming to this church. Well, I first set foot in this church in 1957, and it's been absolute magic all the time. Anyway, a tribute to Mr. Saunders. After being without a pastor since the Reverend John Fennell left, the church were praying that God would send us a pastor to take up a permanent position as minister of our church. Eventually, after much prayer, we, the members of the church, were told by the deacons of a young pastor in Wales who had shown interest in the position offered. This was in 1969. In November of that year, the Reverend Saunders came to visit and preach at the Sunday services. After this extended audition and a tour of the local area and several discussions with Diagonet, Reverend Saunders returned to Wales, back to the valleys. The Diagonet, Mr. Hurst, farmer, Mr. Ferguson, butcher, Mr. Haskew, schoolteacher, Mr. Thorogood, lift engineer, Mr. Smoothie, local shop owner, and others were very impressed. It was decided by the Diagonet and the church meeting to offer David the position of pastor. David duly agreed, and consultation followed of the terms and conditions. So, in March of 1970, David became our pastor. A very handsome young man. You may be able to view the early photographs of him. David had a young family, Ruth, who is also known as Caroline, Mark, and his devoted wife, Joyce. What a team they made. We were amazed at David's sermon skills and his use of every kind of pulpit space. We had never seen such movement during sermons and services. It was so different from what we had been used to. After being with us a short while, David was asked if he would like to go and preach at Tillingham. David said, Tillingham? Where's that? He'd had enough problem finding Rochford. And I remember him saying to me, I'm not sure where it is. I said, well, don't worry, because my family come from there. Would you like me to take you? And we agreed. We arrived at Tillingham Church and the various introductions were made. And it was now time for the sermon. David mounted the rostrum where the pulpit was. To everyone's surprise, David said to the congregation that he liked to move around during his sermons, and they did not like the constraints of a pulpit. He duly delivered his sermon like an uncaged tiger. This was accepted with great acclamation. Tilliam Congregational Church had never experienced anything like it. Sometime later, David said he thought the church needed decorating. This was met with the comment that it would cost a fortune. And David said we could do it ourselves. This was met with some indignation from certain quarters. However, we did decide that we would do it ourselves, and we did. The result was virtually as you see it today. It has been redecorated twice since the first time it was completed. At this time, it was discussed that our church had to decide whether it was interested in becoming part of the United Reformed Church. The Presbyterian Church were asking churches to join the United Reformed Church, of which they would be in charge. An important meeting was arranged, I think it was in London, and the Reverend Mr. Saunders attended. Various discussions took place. Mr. Saunders then stood up. He had a few points to make. The main one being, why did the Presbyterian Church assume to be in control when there were less of the churches of the Presbyterians than there were of the Congregationalists? This was met with a certain amount of surprise. How dare a young pastor from Rochford, where? Rochford, register such objections. As you probably know, we went our own way and we decided to maintain our congregational church status, as did many others. To David, nothing is impossible. He overcame many setbacks during his time with us. The horrific accident suffered by his son Tim, who's sitting down the back there, problems with the church membership, and the diagnosis of cancer. All these things included the passing away of dear Joyce, and last year the passing away of his dear son Mark. But he has placed everything in God's hands, and with the power of prayer and his devotion to God, he has carried on. David, I thank you for 50 incredible and amazing years of work for the church here at Rochford and throughout the world as well. God bless you. But there's one thing I would like to say. I've been searching for a Welsh word that I could say to him. And I've only found one, and that's from years ago. But I don't know whether I could say it to him, because the word is my fawny, which means my fair one. That's the only word I know. God bless you, David.
Follow that. Thank you, Les. Just one more person to speak publicly. It's a nice, shy, retiring type. Stanford Hamburger, Leon C. Stan, you're going to have to keep it very tight, if that's all right. I might be able to give you more time afterwards if you wanted to say a bit more later. As you come up, we've got emails, as I say, from all around the world and some local churches as well. And I thought it would be good to have the wider church represented. So Stan is partly doing that. And it's great to have David and Moira with us as well, representing the Haskews, I know, but the church, the wider church. So over to you, just a few words. Yeah.
Thank you. You don't know me, do you?
I do.
You'll be pleased to know I'm not going to sing. I came to the Lord in 1977 at a mission field being held at the church in Leon C. Through my time there, I became a Christian, and then 22 years later, I became the minister. In that time, I was influenced by several men, Dick Lucas from St. Helens in London, from Wheelock, Albert Johnson, I'm glad they're there. He was my mentor for a long time. Gordon. And this fella down here. Whenever I got in trouble, David was there. He taught me how to speak to people, how to preach, and I wanted to be that man. I wanted to be that man. When he drove up to my church in his BMW, I outdid him. I bought a Jag. But bless him, we spent many times together just talking. He encouraged me in the difficult times, and believe me, there were difficult times. Because in that time I was there, I managed to pull down a church and build a new church. And I knew that he'd done that here. So there was a man to teach you, isn't it? Through the difficult times, when I went down with cancer, he was there. And when I was suffering badly, I thought, what would David do? So I took the services. I had a bag strapped to this leg, a bag strapped to that leg, and I put my gown on and I preached the word like this man. Never failing in giving out the word. Never stopping in preaching the word. He didn't just teach me the method. He taught me how to live as a Christian. Bless you, David.
Well, we're going to, as I say, hear more from around the world and later on after lunch. But thank you for everybody who's participated in that and bringing those wonderful words of tribute. There is another chorus on our chorus sheet. We're not going to sing it, Ruth. I'm going to pray it because it is something that David often prays. And I was struck by this prayer, asking the Lord for showers of blessing upon the work. You don't hear him when we pray before we come into a service, but he would often use these words to help us and focus on our need for the Holy Spirit to be at work amongst us. So if you'd just like to bow your heads, let me just pray. It's from a hymn. Lord, I hear of showers of blessing. Thou art scattering full and free. Showers the thirsty land refreshing. Let some drops now fall on me. Even me, even me. Let some drops now fall on me. There's no such thing as a free lunch. David is going to come and bring God's word to us now.
I am a wounded soldier. Oh, but I've taken my jacket off. I don't think I've ever preached in a tie, without a tie, here. But I can't even tie a tie. I can't lift this arm anywhere. But I want you to do something with you that you're making a great effort to say nice things to me. I want to tell you about the church. I want to tell you, don't worry about that, that's a bookmark. What makes a great church? What makes a great pastor, a great church, great people? Let me turn you to Acts 4, verse 33. I was going to read the whole, but just this. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus and much grace. You know, actually, the Aramaic says great grace was upon them all. The church at Jerusalem was God's example how to do it. How to do it, you see? And they were ordinary people in touch with heaven, receiving their orders from the Lord, tuned in to the power of the Holy Spirit to carry out those orders, and in the process, please God himself. So this is special. This is a unique day at looking back on 50 years of continuing ministry. So it needs us to reflect on some of the things that have been done and why they were done, and how they make this church a great church. There have been some great achievements here. Let me just talk about the physical ones first. I came to a church, something in the doldrums, with a host of problems. We were catching water in buckets around the roof there. Mold was here, the walls are crumbling, and so on. That's just a thing. Huge tasks confronted us, no damp course, and a limited task force of members. Old Harry Chapman, died at 104 years of age, told me how to do it, how the old folk would do it, with slate. And we built, did that. The leaking roof, the plaster work. Do you know, one night, one Tuesday night, a group of young people came, and I said, what can I do for you? They said, well, God told us to come and help you. They chiseled off all that plaster. And I had a guy out the back who put the new plaster back on, and that is still the same. What an achievement that was. I never saw them again. Never saw them again. About 15 of them came that evening. And then the main hall was only usable in parts. And we had to do that. The conference hall here on the side was used by the WRVS for Meals on Wheels. And when Mark went in there, he fell right through the rotten floorboards. And it was a crumbling disaster. The carpeting of the church, the painting. God gave me a vision. And I talked to the deacons. We didn't have this attached room. We were at the back in another place. I shared with them, I have a vision from the Lord. And they didn't talk to me for 3/4 of an hour. They just looked at me. And I'm filling it up with words. And Bill Walker said, well, he's a Yorkshireman. If that's what the Lord told thee, we better do it. And and we did it. We did it. And then, you know, how we brought the outside toilets in and how we built the link building and all of that. All my major projects accomplished just like it was for Nehemiah. The people worked with all their hearts. Nehemiah 4:6. And what does that do? It makes all the difference. A willing heart is teachable. It encourages teamwork. It makes people help in any way that is required. It makes no excuses. It seizes every opportunity. And it discovers that God is the great provider. You know, this young man was a boy then. You remember the first poem I got you to read? The Brick. The Brick. Oh, I tell you what, when God has visited this place, it's been an extraordinary encounter with Him, the living God. And out of this place then, so many lives have been changed. I told you how folk wanted me to think of being the next moderator in Wales, and God made me the president of the World Congregational Churches. He took me overseas. And this church gave me those 12 weeks a year. His dad led it all. He was a senior deacon then, an elder. And he actually said to me, if you need more, you tell us, we'll pray with you and find the mind of God. So great achievements. Great purpose, simply to obey the Savior. Jesus told those early disciples to wait in the upper room until, you know, Luke 24:29, waiting for the promise of Pentecost, and you shall receive power. After that, the Spirit is come upon you. What for and why? Well, it was to offer the gospel far and wide. How wonderful it is to say how far God has taken the message from this place, from the bottom end, the farthest point you can go in Africa, right up to the top of the Arctic Circle. And it's been incredible. And this church had that great purpose. John makes me the recordings week in and week out, and Caroline puts them into the system, and they're listening to them in Africa, our Sunday morning, and what have you, and in Minnesota and other parts of the world. And they're ringing me back and saying, you know, that was such a message for us, and I preach it to you. That's how far. Great preaching. Now, let me be very careful here. Peter and the other disciples was so ordinary, so very, very ordinary, just as I am. I am just an ordinary guy. But great preaching has got three characteristics. It exalts Jesus Christ. It edifies the believer. It exposes sin. And in the process, it exposes the purpose of the cross. The judging of Satan and all that he's geared into, and the coming soon of the one who's going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's great preaching. And great power. The power of Pentecost is the power that you see in creation. And Ruach, he takes a breath. He takes some dust. He makes a man. That power, the power that divided the Red Sea and the waters pile up one on the other, the power that kept the mouths of the lions in Daniel's den closed. It's the power that turned water into wine at that wedding in Cana. It's the power that healed so many. The power that fed the 5,000 with a little boy's lunch. It's the power that gave sight to blind Bartimaeus. That was the key, if you read Isaiah, that you'll know he's the Messiah. He'll give sight to the blind. It's the power that raised Lazarus from the dead. And we have seen that power at work here time and time again. And I must remind you, for great power in the church, it depends on our walking with the Lord consistently, living for him by continually asking him if the shower's going somewhere else, would you let some drops fall on us? If a son shall ask for bread, you're going to give him a stone? Of course you're not. He asks for fish, are you going to give him a scorpion? Of course you're not. So how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? And you can't have a great church without great problems. For Jesus said in John 16, in this world you will have trouble. We have had difficult situations. We've had difficult people who chose to walk away from us. And sometimes in the process causing great upset. There have been family upsets that's required the church's care and commitment, including my own family. Do you know when we did the decorations? There's my boy, Tim. Do you see him? You wouldn't believe it. He was in a pram here when we were painting this ceiling and renovating this room. And there were three or four other prams all around. Do you remember that? I called the folk to fulfill that vision God had given me. And they all had babies in prams. But when Tim was hit by that speeding motorist, we were 60, 70 people a night, day and night, praying here. And on the sixth day, he had a classic hangman's fracture. The neck went straight. You don't know what that meant as a problem for us as a family. To have one boy disabled, to have the other one quadriplegic. God has been good to us in all the problems. And I look over here and see all of you. You know what I'm talking about. The problems we have faced together in our walk with the Lord. And the Lord has brought us through them all. And so I wanted to tell you what else makes a great church. Great people. If you glance at the disciples, Peter, alongside with James and John, they give up their fishing business to become fishers of men. Barnabas sells his home and his land and puts the money to use in the house of the Lord. Stephen gave his life. I can't look back over 50 years without saying this church has had great people at the very core of its work. It takes great people to make a great church, and I pay tribute to you. And great people have gone out from here overseas, as Ken, Shelley, evangelizing and building churches down there in New Zealand after that horrendous earthquake a couple of years ago. And so Ken and Carol. Alison Dean was here from the rehab drug center here for her mom's funeral just 6 or 8 weeks ago, whatever it was. And Roger and Hazel running the programs in New York in the downtown area. I could go on and on. You see, it takes great people to make a great church. And great promises. The promise of heaven. The promise of the Holy Spirit. The promise of peace. The promise of the continued presence of the Lord. In fact, so many that you cannot count them. You just find them there in your Bible, and they're there for your benefit and for mine. And one more thing, great praise. Acts 2, 46, 47 says that every day they were praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. I've been the pastor of a great church. Your pastor. Your pastor. And you release me so that all around the world, just before, I've had 2 Sundays away, and I was in Poland. Do you know we have planted 27 churches there? And it's even with one of the new plants. And they came from all over Poland just for me to spend a day with them in February, there, the end of February. Oh, I can't tell you. I'll be with Living Faith later this year. Great praise should ascend. Paul Negru stood here after the revolution in Romania. The Baptists were sore and angry about it. Why didn't you come to us? You're a Baptist, he said. Because this church, let their man come to us when nobody else would come. And you did. Year in and year out, spending 3 weeks teaching the Word of God. They didn't have books. I left a Bible behind and picked it up the next time I went in. I tell you, it's been a great church. You have been a great church. And I've just been your pastor. So thank you for that. But let us end with great praise. You know, so many things have been taking place in David's life. And if you go to Psalm 107, it all gets caught up together. It says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Would you do that with me today? These are just battle scars from a fall. And Oh, I tell you, what a privilege has been mine. And Miss Joyce, he was the stalwart alongside me. And Miss Mark, well, I'm grateful my other two kids are here today. Thank you for supporting, for being a great church. And I feel so undeserving to have been the pastor of a great church. Blessings on you. Praise the Lord with us together. And here it is, 708. Stretch your hand out to me. I want to give you a blessing. Father, I want to say thank you for a great church that you gave me the privilege of serving. Take these folk, continue to bless them, give them much favor, much grace, much blessing. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you, and the Lord lift the light of his countenance. God, smile on you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's go and have lunch, eh? Let's go.